Welcome to the Healthcare IS podcast, where we tackle today's challenges in the health IT workforce. Broadcasting live from Sacramento, California, here's your host, David Cushon.
Hi, this is Dave Cushon, President and Managing Partner of Healthcare IS. Welcome to our podcast today. This is one of our tip podcasts. And today we're going to specifically be talking about things to consider when projecting the demand for your skill sets in the marketplace. So with that, let's move right on to our tip segment. Okay, welcome to the tip part of our podcast today. As I said in the introduction, we're talking about projecting demand for your skills. And this is going to be more about just giving you some things to think about. And then in another podcast, we'll talk about some specific things you can do to be as accurate as you can in really projecting whether or not the skills are there, or the demand is there, I should say, for your skill set. This tip is kind of motivated from the fact of so many people over the last year thinking about changing into different marketplaces. You know, you may have somebody who has a certain skill set that they're working, they're in demand, but they see another market that's certainly, for lack of a better term, hotter, as most people tell me, you know, more hot than the one they're in today. There certainly seems to be more jobs than the market that they're in. And people are considering making a change into that marketplace. And I just think there's a number of things that people, I'm not saying that's not something people should do, but there's other things that people are not thinking about when making this decision. So, you know, just some questions right out of the gate to consider are, you know, how difficult will it be to break into that new market? How long will the demand last? You know, I hear people talk about how much demand there is for something in the market. They really don't know how to put a finger on if that demand is going to last a year or 5 years. If you make a change and you go into a new market, you know, over the 5 or 6 year plan, are you really going to be better off if you make that change or if you just stay put into a marketplace that has good demand, but maybe not as strong as you see in other markets? I see people consider doing something because it seems like it'll be new and exciting and challenging, but when they're weighing that demand aspect long term, they don't really have a way to go about that. So when I'm talking to people, and our account executives at Healthcare IS are talking to people about career decisions, they'll say, you know, as I've mentioned, this other market looks like it's, you know, there's a lot more demand. Maybe that's a direction I should go into. And the first thing I tell people is like, listen, you have a skill set, and although you may not be in a market that has as much demand as some others, you're a tenured consultant or, you know, an employee who has a number of years of experience in the area that you're an expert in right now. Consider the fact that going into a new market is going to put you into more of a beginner or intermediate status. And that's step one. Are you better off being tenured, highly sought after in a market with a little less demand than a marketplace that once you go into, you're not going to be as experienced? You'll be, you know, for lack of a better term, and again, in a 10 minute podcast, I can't get too detailed, but are you better off staying in a marketplace where you're considered to be an A-level knowledge base and skill set, or a B-minus level in a more demand marketplace? You know, those are things to consider, because from what we see, no matter how much demand there is in a market, every market has a minimum level of skill set that they're going to consider to make a hire and compensate at a level that somebody's probably accustomed to. So that's not something that I hear a lot of people talk about. And again, on this podcast, just being more about an awareness, you got to give some thought about that. There may be demand in a market, but at the end of the day, you're ultimately, as an employee looking for a job, someone to hire you, or as a consultant, you're looking for a new engagement. That's the bottom line for you. So it's not whether or not another market has more jobs available. That might be black and white, although I'll give a tip on that. But the real question is, are you better off in the current marketplace being viewed as an A person or a B person with a little bit more demand? Again, in another tip, we'll go over some of those things. So I'm going to just give you some things to think about overall and how to start trying to put some calculations on whether or not making that shift in a new market makes sense or not. And again, This is pretty detailed stuff, so I'm going to try to stay high level and save the detail for another podcast. But the first thing you need to do is get the real job count. You know, you got to project demand not only for this marketplace that you think there's a lot of demand, but also look at your own, because your current market may be growing. You may be basing a decision to move into what you think is a hotter market, not because that new market is so much better or growing faster than the one you're in, but a lot of times people who are at an expert level in an area aren't experts because they've been doing something for a very long time, and the challenge has kind of gone away, and they're overblowing up the demand in a new market really because they want something new and challenging. And the first thing I really suggest is trying to put some clear metrics on whether or not that demand really is that much stronger. So the first thing you really want to do is get some metrics to know whether or not there truly is more demand than your current marketplace, and if so, how much stronger is that demand? The first step is to get the real job count. Now, you're never going to have 100% accuracy here, but some ways to do that are to go online, put in some keywords, put in the phrases that you would generally look for, and you have to do this over a period of time. You can't just go out one day or one week or a couple weeks in a row and put in keywords for Cerner or Siemens or Epic or Allscripts. If you think there's a marketplace with high demand, you're going to want to have track it over a period of time. Go to search sites like Indeed that are job aggregates, put in these keywords, start tracking them for a couple of months. Again, if this is a major decision for you in your career, it should be something that you put some time into. And just keep putting those keywords in week after week and see how many jobs come up for the week. And track whether or not there's more positions or less positions. It's pretty simple. But one of the keys you have to look at here is, for the overall demand, you want to eliminate third-party recruiting firms, and sometimes even consulting firms for that matter. You want to see where the growth is at the actual facilities that are installing the systems. The reason being is they have the new permanent full-time positions. You may not feel like that's an accurate count for what the consulting market will be like. I would agree with that. But what we're trying to gauge is whether the market's growing as a whole and the demand as a whole. What we are saying and assuming is that when demand increases for FTE positions, that there will be an increase in consulting as well. But many times consulting is not a consulting role. It's more of a staff augmentation role. Can get confused with what third-party recruiters are doing. And what you find is that one provider organization could be reaching out to three or four different third-party recruiting / consulting or staff augmentation firms, and it skews the numbers. You think there's four jobs when there's really one job. So keep your focus on that actual end organization, the one that's actually installing the software, and get a count and track that for a period of time and really take a look at, this is something our firm does, and you could see how in a particular marketplace we're turning out, we're seeing maybe 50 new positions a week, but 3 months later, maybe there's 65, which is a fair increase. And you want to make sure it's not just a one-time spike. Did it go to 65 one week, or are we constantly trending in the 60 to 70 range and take an average over a period of time? So that's something to really take a look at. And you'll see that market that you think is hot is growing, but you might also be surprised on your market. It might be growing too, but you're not looking for new positions in your market. It could be that other hot market just has people reaching out to you to see if you want to consider a transition. So these are things about you really just want to get the facts and have the numbers right in front of you. So let's just say for a minute, you ran the numbers and this new market you're considering is growing by 25%. Let's say your market's growing by 10% and you didn't really realize that. Again, we want to go all the way back to, are you better off being an A caliber person in a 10% growing market? Or a B caliber person, understanding that you're competing with other people who in that market may have three or four implementations completed where you don't really have any, but you have very good transferable skills that could be offered and good knowledge that could be transferred into that new market. So do you want to be an A-level person in a 10% growing market, or do you want to be a B-level person in a 25% market? The last thing, again, before we talk about ways to transition into this new marketplace is, this is what I call the demand side. When you look at the jobs, this tells you what the demand is like. Is it growing? Is it staying the same? You also want to consider the supply side. What I mean by that is, let's say you're in a marketplace where, although it's growing slower, you have very few people entering it. But let's take a look at that marketplace with 25% growth And because there is so much demand, you have a number of people on a regular basis doing everything they can to get their foot in the door with one of these companies. Well, the supply-demand equation would simply say that at some point, if the supply catches up with the demand, the fact that the jobs are growing is not as much of a factor as how many people there are for the jobs. So very, very clearly, as a quick example, let's say that a marketplace has 100 positions advertised every week, but there's 95 people in that market to fill those 100 positions. Well, overall, that's pretty good because there are more jobs than there are people. And if you went online, you would see 100 jobs, and that would be the most jobs you see, so you'd feel like there's the most demand for that marketplace. Let's say the marketplace you're in only has 50 jobs each week. So when you're comparing the two jobs, you would say there are twice as many jobs in the market you're thinking about getting into than the market you're currently in. But what if in your current market, there are only 25 people that could do the work? So in this case, there's only 25 people to potentially fill 50 jobs, as opposed to 95 people to fill 100 jobs. So when you're clearly just looking at how many jobs there are in a marketplace in itself, you would clearly say the first market would be the place to be. But when you're considering how many people there are also to do the work of that marketplace, I think you could see how there'd be a lot more stability and choice in a marketplace where there were two jobs for every one person than in a marketplace where there were 95 people for 100 jobs. So just a number of things to think about there. Taking that supply side into the equation can also give you a bigger picture as to what the likelihood is for you to have more options. And again, it's not about is the market hot, it's about the options that you have for yourself in that marketplace. Okay, we're coming to the end of our podcast today. Hopefully that tip and perspective provided a different way to look at demand and career options and the options you may have overall in the marketplace. For our show notes, go back to our blog at healthcareis.com. Click on the blog and you'll see the notes to our podcasts. Also, as we've mentioned, we're on other avenues as well that all have different types of information based on the tool there. So don't forget to catch us on Google+, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. We're starting to see a bigger following right now on Google+, as more and more people are becoming aware of that. So neat tool, take a look at that. So with that, thanks for tuning in again, and we'll hopefully have you back next time.